Please open your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 5. The song you just sang was a prayer. Glorify your name in all the earth. How's that prayer answered? Well, one way it's answered is in the husband-wife relationship. God intended for marriage to glorify His name, and especially to glorify the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will take to heart the instruction He gives us and observe it, His name will be glorified. Is there a crucial factor in the health of a marriage? I believe there is. I believe the most crucial factor in a healthy marriage is for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church. There's nothing more crucial. Not the wife's submission, not the children's obedience, but the husband's loving his wife as Christ loves the church. That's the most crucial factor in marriage, in a healthy marriage. Now, a marriage could fail even if he does this well. However, most often when he works at doing this well, his wife will respond and the marriage will be healthy and growing. Last week, we examined how the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church in verses 25 through 27. We saw the process that this is to follow, that the husband is to give himself up for her. He is to sanctify her, to set her apart, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, ministering the Word to her faithfully. And the goal of that is so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's Christ's goal for the church, and it will be accomplished. And men, that should be your goal towards your wife. But there's more. It's kind of like that commercial, you know? There's this great thing, but wait, there's more. That's verses 28 to verse 30 for this morning. We want to build on the process that we looked at last week more through examining these three verses, which read as this. In the same way, as Christ loving the church, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. In verse 28, what seemed impossible last week, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, now seems to be a little easier in this verse, or it should be. It says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh. Men, do you love your body? Dan worked out all week on his leg. You love your body? Of course you do. And you usually do it with ease. I mean, it comes easy to love ourselves. That's not hard to do. Frankly, that's one of our problems sometimes, is we love ourselves too much at the expense of others who we are responsible to love. But men, we do love our bodies. And we give our bodies whatever they want. If they want time, we make time for our bodies. Whether it's sleep or recreation or whatever. If our bodies are demanding time, out of love for our body, we'll give it time. Whatever you want to do. We'll give it pleasure. What pleases my body? Well, then I'll give myself to it. You know, it could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing, but it's something that we tend to do to our own bodies, whatever pleases it. And we're prone to do it with ease. When our body calls for attention, we listen to it. We don't have to listen to anything else. Just listen to your body. We give it attention. We give it what it wants. Because we love our bodies. No one ever yet hated his own flesh, as a general rule. Not only do you give it what it wants, you give it what it needs. That's especially true physically. If your body says, I'm hungry, you give it food to eat. If your body says, I'm tired, you try to give it a time of rest. Whatever it needs mentally, whatever it needs emotionally, men, we give our bodies what our bodies want. And the thing of it is, we give it priority. Whatever my body wants comes first. Now, the fact is that according to Scripture, when you marry, you become one flesh with your wife. When he says this, he says, in the same way, that means in the same way as Christ. Christ loves his body. Christ loves the church. He says, verse 30, because we are members of his body. Now, when you married your wife, you loved her with ease, didn't you? It wasn't hard to love her. I mean, you'd been dating her for some period of time and was looking forward to that time when you could consummate your marriage and come together. You didn't have any trouble doing that. That was easy. Then you got married and the work begins. And what you need to do is to continue and increase your treatment of her the same way you treat your body. You need to give her what she wants. What she wants of your time. We got time to do everything except give time to our wives, men. You need to give time to them. Put away those things you like to do with your body and realize she's part of your body and give her the time that she needs. Give her the pleasure that she needs. Please her. And if you don't know what pleases her, ask her. Alan tells a story that when we got married, every now and then I'd bring flowers for some special occasion. And she said, well, that's nice. That's really what I wanted. I want a rose we can plant, not one that's going to die in a few days. So we've been planting a few rose bushes. You need to find out what pleases her and give yourself to that. You need to give her your attention. I've had another thing that I've had to learn with Alan that I didn't have to learn with Ann. And that was when she says it's time to come eat, she means it's time to come eat. We finally got it worked out now so that with the sports analogy, she gives me the 2-minute warning. And I can make it there. She even complimented me last week. She says, you're really starting to get here on time. That means I'm listening to what she says. I'm giving her my attention. And that's, men, what you need to do. You give your body's attention, well, your wife's part of your body. Give her your attention. Now, that's good practice for anybody. Give people attention. Listen to them. You may find out a few things that will help your relationship if you just listen and give attention. You give your body what it needs. Give your wife what she needs. What she needs physically, what she needs emotionally, what she needs mentally, give it to her. Make her your priority. We had 5 children, and it was easy to make our children and their needs a priority. They got games to go to. They got things to do, after school activities, youth group activities. But we had to work hard at making sure our kids knew that though we were committed to them, our priority was to each other. And someday they're going to be grown up and gone, and I'll be there with my wife. And if I haven't made her a priority and that happens, I'm going to look at her and say, "Who are you?" Because we've made something else our priority. When other things lead you to neglect your body, what happens to your body, men? Well, ladies, you can answer it too. If you neglect your body, what happens? Well, early on in our life, not much. We survive. But understand this, the longer it goes without being treated correctly, it begins to deteriorate and becomes unhealthy. You have to keep caring for it diligently to stay healthy. Yeah, it took me out of my young adult years when you're naturally physically strong for the most part. It took me another 30 years to realize if I don't take care of my body, I'm in trouble. And so I go to the gym now regularly. And the best thing I like about the gym is when it's done and I can go home. But it has helped my body. It's given me a longer use of that which God has given to me. If it didn't, I'd be unhealthy. So you have to keep caring for your body diligently to stay healthy. And out of love for our bodies, we do it. We're responsible for our bodies. Well, when other things lead you to neglect your wife, men, what happens to her and to your marriage? It deteriorates just like your body, because she is your body. It becomes unhealthy. She becomes unhealthy. Your marriage becomes unhealthy when you neglect her. Therefore, you have to keep caring for her diligently in order to stay healthy in your marriage. And out of love for your wife, you can and you ought to do this because it is your primary responsibility before God. Husbands, love your wives. That's not a suggestion. That's a command to which God will hold us accountable. Don't think of yourself in isolation or detachment from your wife if you're married. Forget the his and her towels. It's our towels. You may use that one. I may use this one, but it's not his and hers. And the more the his and hers there are in their marriage, the more trouble you're going to have. Because you are one flesh, not two. You're one body, not two. Do not think of yourself in isolation or detachment. Do not think of her as distinct from you. For although she's an individual and you're an individual, in God's eyes, you are one flesh. And you're to live that way. So the impossible process is easier than it seems. Just treat your wife like you treat your body, because she is your body. Now verses 29 and 30, this process of loving the wife, in this case as yourself, we've got two more consistent ongoing practices that we need to think about. Verse 29 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." Christ follows two processes in relationship to the church as members of his body. It is his responsibility to nourish his church. It is his responsibility to cherish his church, and he does both. Again, you can't really understand this passage in Ephesians 5 unless you understand what we call chapters 1 through 5. And let me take you back and just show you some ways that Christ advances the divine perspective as the head of the church, as he works it out in the world through the members of his body, look at how he nourishes and cherishes it. Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, working according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us, working in us. He's nurturing us. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's nurturing his church, enabling them to become his workmanship. It's the picture of a potter with the clay, molding and shaping it. Oh, he takes great interest in his church. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, is over all, through all, and in all. He's seeking to shape in us and nurture us towards humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and love. He's seeking to nurture us with the idea of the unity and the Spirit and the bond of peace. He's constantly seeking to do that in his church. That's his responsibility. Look at chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. He uses means. It says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's what Christ is doing to His church. He's teaching it. He's instructing it. He's building them up. He's seeking to bring them to maturity, to a full development of what they are, to a full functioning body. Oh, He nourishes His body. He cherishes His body for what it's going to become. Look at chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. It says, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Christ nurtures His church. Sometimes that nurturing is somewhat painful because He says, put that off, put that off, put this on, put this on. But He's continually nourishing and cherishing us. He's seeking to renew our minds and the spirit of our minds so that we begin to think His way, so that we come into harmony and agreement with Him, putting off those things that are destructive, putting on those things that are beneficial. Christ nourishes and cherishes His church. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Oh, how he nurtures and cherishes his church. He gave himself up for it. And he calls us to walk with him, to walk in love, to be followers of God. He nurtures us towards that. Chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Oh, how he nurtures his church, trying to teach them how to walk, how to be wise, how to make the best use of their time, how not to be foolish, how to understand what the will of the Lord is, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that our hearts are filled with song and thanksgiving and submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. Oh, how he nurtures and cherishes his church, seeking to transform it into that which is his goal. See, he is responsible to see that the church, that the members are healthy and developing. He does that by nourishing them and cherishing them. He does not fail. If there's any failure, folks, whose failure is it? It's ours. For not heeding his word and doing what he says to do. And yet he still loves us. He still nourishes us. He still cherishes us, seeking to bring us from our waywardness and our selfishness and the things that we want to do to the things that he wants us to do, and we'll be ever thankful that we did. See, that's the work of Christ. He ever nourishes and cherishes his church, his body, because we are members of his body. Now, men, you need to love your wives in the same way, by consistently and continuously nourishing her. Now, think about that word for a minute. What's it mean to nourish her? Well, that involves being the source of support, the source of provision, the source of feeding. And thus, it's describing the growing development brought about by nourishment. As husbands, we have the same responsibility Christ has for his church, and that's to see that we provide for what our wives need. And that doesn't just mean bringing money home. That means providing for the things she needs to be fulfilled as a wife, to be fulfilled as your partner. You've got to see that you're nourishing her and feeding her and caring for her and providing for her. You need to be ever thinking, how can I help and strengthen her? You need to be ever thinking, what pleases her? What does she enjoy? And if you don't know, ask her. And if you don't understand, ask her to explain it to you. What does she need? Ask her, consult her, talk with her. You know, there are, in marriage, there are two really major crucial issues. One is finances. Generally, that becomes a major problem early on in marriage until they figure out how to run a budget, if they ever do. That's an early marriage problem. It can be a later marriage problem too, but it's primary early. But the big problem in marriage is frankly this. We don't communicate. We take each other for granted because there's other things going on. We don't make time to talk. We don't make time to ask questions. And because we don't do that, over the years, that lack of communication becomes destructive. And generally, marriages break down within the first 5 years or somewhere around 20 to 25. And the breakdown at usually at 20 to 25, generally speaking, is there's been a breakdown in communication that's finally reached a crisis point. You've got to learn how to communicate. You've got to nurture. You've got to consult her. And issues change in life stages. When you're first married and have no children, her needs are different than when children start to come. And as those small children start to fill your house, her needs change. Sometimes she just needs help. Sometimes she needs relief. But as those little children become bigger children and older children, her needs change again. And you've got to understand that. And then when the children leave the nest, and there you are, just the two of you looking at each other over the breakfast table saying, "Who are you?" Her needs have changed again. So this is why you've got to consistently keep on it and keep nourishing her, because her needs are constantly changing. And then there's the later life, when the bones begin to creak and the ears begin to go deaf and the eyes begin to dim. There's different needs then. Now, how often and well do you nurture your body? Do you provide for it? Do you do the same thing with your wife? Do you work at seeing that she's nurtured? Well, not only are we to nurture our wives as Christ does the church, we're also to cherish her. Men, love your wives by consistently and continuously cherishing her. She's God's greatest gift to you apart from eternal life. Treat her that way. Now, the root meaning of cherishing involves to comfort or to keep warm, to foster tender care. And thus what's in view here is not the provisions for her life, but the protection and the preservation of her life, promoting her well-being in word and deed. Now, all this harkens back to the Garden of Eden. Man was responsible in the Garden of Eden by God's directive to keep it and to work it. He gave that to Adam. And the major priority he had in the garden to work and keep was his wife. Because if he didn't work and keep her, the rest couldn't be done. We need to be ever thinking. And this is where Adam failed. Where is she weak? Where does she need help? Where does she need protection? We need to ask the same question, men. You know, Peter tells us that the wife is the weaker vessel. There's a lot in that, but just take it for face value. She's the weaker vessel. That means you're the stronger vessel. You're not as weak. Weaker means you're weak. She's simply weaker. All right? And you need to be thinking of that. Don't expect her to be what you are. She's not. She's something else, and she needs you to help her be and do what she is. Where is she weak? Where does she need help? Where does she need protection? And again, issues change in life. When there's no children, it's one thing to cherish her then. When there are young children, your cherishing has to change. to meet the needs she has at that point in her life. When you have older children, when you have the empty nest, when you have later life, generally in a wedding ceremony when vows are changed, it goes like this: in sickness and in health, cherish. In sickness and in health, cherish. For richer, for poorer, cherish. Cherish. How often and how well do you cherish your body, men? That is how you are to cherish your wife and even do it more. Promote her well-being. Comfort her. Keep her warm. Keep her encouraged with words and deeds. And without a doubt, this kind of loving is supernatural, because it doesn't come naturally to us. We want to love ourselves. So it does require a supernatural work. And if you think it's too supernatural to happen to you, again, go back to chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And say, man, I can't do this. And I'll say, you're right. But listen to this. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Christian man, you've got the power in you to do what God tells you to do. And He can make that power work far more abundantly than you can imagine. A lot of times we're just content with a little when we could have a lot more. Well, what happens if we follow this process? Men, if you truly, consistently and continuously nurture and cherish your wife, what good comes? Well, here's at least six things. Number one, your marriage will be more healthy. It will make your marriage more healthy. You want your marriage more healthy, men? Then take your responsibility and nourish and cherish your wife as Christ does the church. Well, you don't know my wife. Well, maybe I'm glad I don't. But that's still the directive. It's your job. There's things about her that bug me. Do you think there's not things about you that don't bug Christ? I think He's really bugged with a lot of His churches. And read Revelation 2 and 3. You'll find out how He was bugged with His churches, and yet He still loved them. And He sought to nourish and cherish them. Don't let that be an excuse for you not loving your wife because she bugs you. You love her anyway. You nurture her and cherish her, and perhaps she'll quit bugging you. Your marriage will be more healthy. Secondly, your children will see a real example of the way Christ loves. Oh, Billy, Jesus loves you. How do I know, Daddy? Oh, you mean like you love Mama? That's right. The better you nourish and cherish your wife, the better your children will understand what it means when you say God loves you, Christ loves you, because they've seen it in your love towards your wife. You'll be an example to other men of what should and can be done. I want an example. No, be an example. Take the Word of God seriously and apply it to your life, and it'll not only help you, it'll help other men who see in you what the grace of God can do. Not only that, you'll make the church stronger in its life and ministry. Pastored a church one time, previously, not this church, and we had an elderly lady who was a very capable Bible teacher, united with the church, and she united with it for one reason. She says, you got something here I haven't seen in very many churches. I said, what's that? She says, your men are active participants in the work of this church. It's not being run by women. And the reason some churches are being run by women is not because the women want to do it, it's because the men don't do it. And men, if you will love your wife and make your marriage healthier and be a good example, you're going to make this church stronger and healthier. Not only that, you become a testimony to a world incapable of doing this. This world is incapable because they don't have within them the power to love as Christ loves. One of the comments was made about the early Christians was, "Behold how they love each other." And Christ said that, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another." You know, it's easy to love guys you only see maybe once a week. The proof of the pudding comes in, do you love your wife 24/7? Do you love her that way in public so that people see you together and say, "Wow, they are in love. Wish I had a love like that." But here's the bottom line. By following this process, above all, you glorify God. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. You really mean that song? Then start in the home. And husbands, start loving your wife and cherishing her and nourishing her like she needs to be cherished and nourished, and God will be glorified. And His redemptive perspective will be glorified because your love for her will reflect the love of Christ for His church. And that's what God's doing in this world. Men, nothing is more crucial and helpful in your marriage than loving your wife as Christ loved the church, both as to the process and the goal. The greatest obstacle to loving your wife as Christ loves the church is very simply this: selfishness. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, "The real cause of failure ultimately in marriage is always self and the various manifestations of self." To sum it up, this is the great commandment to married men: never to be selfish. Therefore, men and women too, and boys and girls, root out your selfishness. You and your wife are not two, you're one. You're the head. You're the leader, and God holds you accountable. Therefore, do not take her for granted. Do not neglect her. Consistently nourish and cherish your wife, the gift of God to you. And He gives you the grace to do it. Give yourself wholly to it, for all the good that will come from doing so, especially for the glory of God, who created marriage in its purpose of magnifying Christ and His church. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we must bug you terribly. But we thank you for Christ, who loves His church, gave Himself for it, to cleanse us, to sanctify us, to make us without spot or blemish. We're so thankful, Lord, that He will not fail. We thank You that He nourishes us, He cherishes us day after day in spite of what we are. And yet, Lord, we can grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Our lives are being transformed as we give heed to Your Word and trust You and rely upon You for Your care. And Father, You've said that marriages are to reflect this. Forgive us men for the times that we have loved ourselves and not our wives, when we have nourished and cherished our bodies and neglected our wives. Oh God, convict us of this. Change our lives. Make us more of what Christ is. May our marriages become more and more healthy. May we be a witness to our children. May we be an additional strength to our congregation. May be a witness to the world. But above all, Father, we want to glorify You. We want to see Your name glorified. And may it be done by Your grace. And now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord Jesus Christ in His grace be with you all. Amen.